Narniawebcom podcast, the Narnia Web Council, and I'm your host, Rillian. Welcome.
I don't know if I want to do this then. If you're going to record it, you know, it makes me kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, like,
can we do it without you recording it this time?
We'll try doing the podcast without recording it. We'll do our
okay.
Best. Okay. Well, everyone, it has been a very, very long wait. I don't even want to look at the schedule to see when the last podcast was released. I'm so ashamed. But we are still alive and well. At least I am. How about you, Glumpuddle?
Doing pretty well. It's been an incredible month or however long it's been since the last episode, so I'm hanging in there.
Yep, definitely. Well, we've got a lot of news to cover. I have a brief apology to make. I'm sorry, we haven't really had time to do all the set reports that I wanted to do corresponding with the podcasts, but go ahead and look at them. I think you're on. You just released Set Report 3, right?
Yes. And the fourth one's coming out next week.
Okay. Well, we're all going to be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. So first up, I'm just going in chronological order here. There have been some yet again more pictures from the set of the bridge, and I'm wondering who it is that has such wonderful access to this set. He's right on the bridge in these pictures.
You do have to wonder. It's either the most poorly guarded set in the history of filmmaking, or it's just there is like someone who's like, you know, part of the crew or something getting pictures. And yeah, you're right. He's actually on the bridge getting these pictures. So it must be a crew member or someone or something. But we've got pictures of this bridge from every imaginable angle. I've never seen so much of a set before actually seeing the movie.
Yeah, Narnia spy Flavius. I'm thinking it possibly someone like Andrew Adamson. I mean, really, who else has access to be on the bridge and helicopter shots? Come on.
Yeah.
But anyway, like we said in the last episode, we talked about it a little bit. It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a high level of detail, scrutiny, it holds up pretty well. It looks like a real bridge.
Yeah, I think that we'll talk about this later, but I think that all the design of Prince Caspian has really exceeded, well, not all of it, but most of it has really exceeded all of my expectations. I just have, you know, the story and the script sounds like it has a lot of, you know, things I'm really uncomfortable with, but as far as design, I think it looks a lot better than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, definitely. Well, you talked about design there, and the 8th production blog just was released on September 6th, and it features Richard Taylor, and he talks about the weapons that were designed for the film, including the armor, and we have some pictures there. We've, of course, saw Caspian's sword in the production blog number 6 with Ben Barnes, and we also have a picture of Reepicheep's rapier, which is a cup hilt rapier, and I am absolutely loving the designs. They are very historically accurate to a period around 1550 to 1650, that kind of period, and I just love it. I love the detail work they're going into.
Yeah, I love, like, my favorite is a Reepicheep's rapier for sure. I think that, it's a lot of people, a few people have said that the whole mouse thing is kind of obvious, like the mouse instead of the lion. And I guess it is, but I think that only somebody like Reepicheep would find a mouse something that he would consider to be kind of an intimidating symbol to put on a weapon. And I love how like the tail kind of wraps around the hilt. I think that's really sweet since the tail is the honor and glory of a mouse. And also, just remember that we're probably not going to get like a really great look in the movie at the sword. I mean, we barely saw that, you know, some of the details in Peter's sword in the movie, and so I don't think we need to really like fret over like, oh, that's kind of silly. But I think it's a really just one of my favorite pieces of design in the film so far. And also, yeah, got to look at some of the Telmarine swords, which I also love. I'm not really sure what that little circle thing is that comes up like off the hilt around the bottom of the blade, but it's different and it looks really interesting. And so just once again, nothing but awesome things to say about Prince Caspian as far as design.
Yeah, well, I think especially in terms of Reaper Chief sword, it fits because a sword like that would be made for the mouse. I mean, it's not like you could. I mean, with the other swords, you make a sword, and it's human can use this, or a dwarf, or even, or a centaur, or a satyr, or fawn, or whatever. But here, of course, it has to be made for a mouse. So I like that it's probably a mouse smithy that's making it. And but personally, I love Caspian sword. I absolutely love the royal hilt.
Absolutely. I think I said in my latest blog that there weren't that many things in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe where I said, oh, that's exactly how I pictured it. But I really don't know why, but there's something about Caspian's sword where that just seems to fit so well into my vision of what it is, just that weapon, like the way it's designed. So, yeah, Caspian's sword is another one of my favorite pieces of design in the film. And I have a lot of favorite pieces at this point. So can't wait to actually see the film and see all of it.
Well, I have to agree. When I imagined Prince Caspian, I always thought, oh, okay, there's the Golden Age would be more medieval, but now it mentions rapiers and things like that. So it's a more Renaissance period, but it's definitely, he's not using an épée because it's definitely, he's fighting against armor, but it would be a more late period hilt, and that's almost identical to how I imagined it. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is just gorgeous, really.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully they'll make like master replicas of some of the stuff. That'd be sweet.
Yes, because you do have Peter's sword.
Yes, and I'm debating now if I'm going to get Reaper Chief or Caspian sword.
Reaper Chief.
And someone made the joke that you could have Reaper Chief, you could sell it full size as a letter opener, like they did with Peter's sword.
That would be the way to do it. That's how I would want it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it scaled up at all.
Yeah, I would want it actual size.
If I ever get to talk to you in person, you'll have to bring your Peter's sword, and I can give you an eval on it as far as fencing.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to sell one of my swords, one of my medieval broadswords, so I can buy a rapier styled like Caspian's.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, hey, if you want another one, let me know.
Okay, I will.
So.
Yeah. There's another one here that it's not like, as far as like design, there's nothing all that interesting about it, but it's just the fact that they include Glazell's dagger is significant just because, you know, in the book he stabs Miraz in the back. So it's just interesting that they included Glazell's dagger in the batch.
Yeah, well, I really like the, again, one thing Weta is so good at doing is the influences of different cultures and making each one feel like its own culture. That's one reason why my fencing coach loves the Lord of the Rings is he said, you know, maybe each style of fighting or each weapon isn't exactly perfect, but it's that they're different. He said that, you know, this culture fights this way and they have these kind of weapons and this culture fights another way. And he said they fight like real cultures would if they were different.
Yeah.
He said that's what he loves about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's see. We also have some new concept art for Prince Caspian. And I think you've looked at it a little bit more than I have. I glanced at it earlier this week, but why don't you give us your thoughts on it first?
Well, they're pictures from the MGM Narnia walkthrough display thing in Florida. And there's a couple of new Prince Caspian ones. The most interesting by far is one of Aslan and Lucy is kind of in Aslan's arms almost, and he's lying down, and it's just really adding an awesome, I mean, that probably it's not exactly what it's going to look like in the movie. It's just concept art. This might just be this is like a color study or something. It probably doesn't completely reflect what's going to be in the movie. But since it's such a memorable scene in the book, it's really cool to see this. And also the thing that's really being discussed the most about it probably is Aslan's size and is he bigger or is he not bigger? It's kind of like in Voyage to the Dawn Treader when they see the sun and some people are saying it looks bigger and some people are saying no, it doesn't. So there's a debate about that. Does as Aslan grown. And I remember one of the first articles I read about Prince Caspian, the movie, was what some of the visual effects guys were saying, how they thought Aslan was going to be bigger in this movie. And that was a really old article, and it might not be true. But he definitely, even though this is just concept art, and we shouldn't take all of this to the bank, but to my eyes, he definitely does look a little bit bigger than he did in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe,
More
which is
importantly,
probably a good thing.
yeah, well, more importantly, he looks bigger in this concept art than he did in the concept art for the first film.
That's true.
And
That's
he
true.
definitely looks a little bit bigger. And I
And
think one of the,
it
well,
might
I
be that
think
the purpose of this concept art was just to nail down his size and see how it would look.
yeah, because of the scale with Lucy.
Yeah.
And I think actually Andrew Adamson brought up the in one of the older interviews, he said that they came close to making it bigger because it would be no problem digitally to make it bigger. You just scale it up or down.
Right.
But he said when they made him a lot bigger, he came across looking kind of cartoonish, which they said they didn't want, so they scaled him down a little bit. They said he's still bigger than your average lion, but they did make him smaller than I think they had originally intended. But I think
Yeah.
they're planning to make him a little bigger in this one.
Yeah, I think, and a lot of people have said they wish they always imagined Aslan being bigger in the book, and I suppose I did too. But when it comes to making a film, I don't think you want him to come across as a giant lion. It makes him feel more like a talking monster.
Yeah.
And it's one thing in a book to kind of, because he's such a, has such a big character in the book, you kind of imagine it that way. But when it comes to actually visualizing it, and and storytelling in film is all about, visuals, visuals, visuals. That's how you tell your story. And so I don't really think it would get the right feeling across about him as a character if you had him too big. So yeah, that's definitely something that you want to keep an eye on. It's not as simple as, oh, he's probably big in the book, so we should make him big in the movie. There's more things to consider than that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I saw this week in the news, it was probably, well, let's see. I guess it was last week. On the 17th, was my favorite thing I've seen in a long time was the poster for Prince Caspian. And oh my goodness, that is amazing. If for no other reason than the fact that I think it uses the picture for Aslan is identical to the one we have on our website.
Oh, maybe that is it. Maybe, who knows? Maybe that's the Narnia web line right there, just tweaked. That'd be pretty sweet. But yeah, I think it's always a special moment that the poster comes out because, I mean, I know I've been to the set and everything, but it kind of feels like, wow, they actually are making this movie. Like we've been hearing so much about it, but it's like, wow, it's actually going to happen. We're actually going to get to go and see it someday. And but I think it's a pretty cool poster. I mean, it reminds me a little too much of, I'm not the only one who has said this, it reminds me a lot of like an Anakin Skywalker, like inner conflict kind of thing. And I mean, and he actually kind of looks like Anakin.
In
And
the picture, he does, yeah.
yeah, and like one half is dark and one half is light. It's almost like, and you almost have to wonder if maybe they're doing that intentionally. Like maybe in the movie that it will be like he's torn between the Telmarines and who he's lived with his whole life and the Narnians, and maybe that's kind of what they want to get across. But I think the main thing that Disney, I think this is kind of a preview of their whole strategy, their whole marketing strategy. They want people to look at this and say, oh, that and realize that the movie's going to be darker and more serious. I showed it to one of my friends who is not a fan, and he saw he mostly liked the first movie, I guess. But he saw this and said, "Oh, cool! It's going to be darker." That was his very first response. And I think that's exactly what Disney wants because even though, obviously, the first film made $740 million, one common criticism of it is that it's too kiddie and it feels almost cartoonish. And I didn't necessarily get that, but I can understand where a non-fan would get that. And so it makes sense that in their marketing campaign for the sequel, they want people to see that, oh, this is going to be darker. It's going to be a more serious movie. I think it's a Disney had a fantastic marketing strategy on the first movie, and I think this is, as far as getting ticket sales, this is a great way to go for the sequel.
Yeah, well, even a friend of mine said of course, he's a huge fan of the books, loves the books, but he said, I couldn't really get into the new movie because he said it just seemed, I think his thoughts were, again, a little too kitty for him. But I think he couldn't take it quite as seriously. But one thing I was really shocked by, not necessarily in a bad way, just looking at the poster, assuming this is the final poster and everything that's going to be on the DVD covers, etc., is that it's a different theme from the one that was set in the original. Because I really thought by looking at the original poster with the gigantic face of Aslan in the center that, oh, this is going to be the theme for the DVD posters and everything with, you know, Aslan being in the center, maybe a different color theme and different characters strewn around the sides. But, you know, we do have still have Aslan at the top as the biggest face in the page, but I was kind of surprised that they weren't going to keep a continuous theme there.
Well, because the title of the film is Prince Caspian, and they want to get people's attention with the poster. They want to, like, say, and I think another thing they want people to get out of this poster is, oh, that there's this new character, and they want to, they're probably going to be kind of curious about, I mean, people who haven't read the book are going to be curious about, you know, who it is. And maybe they want people to not really be sure if he's a good guy or a bad guy when they look at the poster. And I think this probably – I know I said this is about the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe poster, but I think this probably isn't going to be the final poster for the movie. It strikes me – it does strike me as more of a teaser poster, where the original poster does – like, it is kind of a good, pleasant mixture of, you know, the whole story. This is just, I think, saying that, oh, there's this new character, Caspian, and it's going to be darker, and that's basically just all they want this poster to tell people.
Yeah, it does look like a teaser poster, and – one of my main reasons for that, I've looked at the poster, not too thoroughly, but I've looked around. Two big things I notice. You do not see Peter hardly at all. He's in the poster towards the very back, and he is small in that poster. And I'm thinking, if the story is going to play out the way it's looking like it's going to play out, they will probably end up having Peter as a bigger character on the poster. And also, we don't see Reepy Cheep.
Oh, well, yeah, well, Reaper Chief's obviously a big secret, I'm sure. They probably, and who knows, maybe they haven't even finished him enough to put him in the poster. Yeah, they probably have, but either way, it makes sense that they wouldn't want to, yeah, they wouldn't want to give him away in the poster just yet. But when the DVD comes out and the secret is out, I would expect them to have something that has Reaper Chief on it, if he's as popular a character as we're hoping.
Oh, he's going to be popular, I'm sure.
If they do him right, he will be a popular character.
It's tricky because in the book takes the character very seriously. Doesn't treat him as just a kind of comic relief at all. But he is he is the comic relief in many ways.
Yeah, they take him seriously, but I think that's the fact that they take him seriously is kind of funny.
Yeah.
The fact that he takes himself seriously is kind of funny. I mean, not in a hot. I mean, it's amusing. It's not like laugh out loud. It's just kind of amusing. And he does, you know, prove himself that he can hold his own in battle. So it's not like, oh, this stupid little mouse. It's just kind of.
Yeah.
I guess you could say it's almost ironic. But you still have a lot as a character. You still have a lot of respect for him. But it's just kind of amusing to have a little mouse saying such, you know, fierce and being so brave. And so, yeah, I guess in a sense you could make him comic relief without taking away the essence of his character.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of how Lewis did it, especially in, you know, Boys of the Dawn Treader, where I'm trying to remember, I think he and Eustace get into a fight, and so they're going to have a duel, but then they say, well, that's hardly fair. Reepy Cheep's so much better a swordsman. You know, things like that. I mean, it's funny, but it's not in a goofy sort of funny way, which
right.
I like.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, this is actually progressing nicely. I just mentioned the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and guess what's next on the list?
I'm going to guess it's Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
No, it's Silver Chair. Yes, it's Voyage of the Dawn
Treader. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I was like, which order are we going in here?
Yeah, do you... This, actually was, I think, doing exams around this time. Do you want to talk about the crazy 6 hours of the release date?
Yeah, I mean, I got an email around 6 o'clock my time. on, when was it? It was, I guess it
AM or
was
PM?
Tuesday, PM.
Okay.
And I got an email from Fantasia Kitty telling me that, she's freaking out. The subject just said urgent. It was like a Box Office Mojo saying that the release date has been released, and we got to figure out if it's true or whatever. And my first reaction was, oh, it's got to be one of those IMDb kind of things where it's like, oh, who knows where it came from, and
Yeah.
in a couple of days we'll figure it out. And, but she thought it was true, and of course she ended up being right. So she just went ahead and posted it as we started trying to confirm it. And when she originally posted it, it had a question mark at the end. And then within about an hour or so, we had taken the question mark off because Disney had sent us an email and they had confirmed it. And of course, everyone has kind of mixed feelings at this point about, I think most people were kind of like me at the beginning. They're kind of in denial, like, oh, this can't, there's, they wouldn't make a big change like this. But now we know for sure that the release date for Dawn Treader is not going to be summer 2009. It's going to be May 7th, 2010, which is everyone has kind of mixed feelings about it, I think.
Yeah, I kind of am glad this kind of breaks up the trend of trying to release one a year, which I think is a very bad idea. Although I didn't think it was such a big deal with releasing Voyage of the Dawn Treader close to Prince Caspian, but usually in cases like this, if the company feels it's the best thing to do, then I'm usually of the opinion that with something like this, the film's this size, that it probably would be best for them to maybe take a little more time on it. Because again, they're not, and you can argue, well, what about the character ages? That's not as big a deal because they still say, summer 2008 is when production is going to begin. So it's not like you have to, oh my goodness, Georgie and Skander are going to be a year older. What are we going to do now?
It's
Mercy
going to
me,
be
oh
about
my.
6 months older than they would have been. They were going to start shooting in January. Now they've changed to summer.
Yeah.
So about 6 months older.
So the age being the main concern as far as story is related to the release dates, I don't think that's much of an issue. So I don't really feel this is a really bad thing at all.
Yeah,
It's
and
just
even if
more of a
it,
wait.
even if you, yeah, even if you can kind of see the difference in their age, I mean, I think that there are a lot of things about adapting these books that are critically important, but I don't think that age is necessarily one of them. Obviously, it's true that one of the unique things about the series is that the characters are very young, but in the end, when push comes to shove and you're trying to make a film, I don't think that you should really go out of your way, oh, we have to be exactly the correct ages. I think it's in the end, it's much more important to give the book the loving attention it deserves when adapting it. And so overall, I don't mind waiting. I mean, I waited 4 years for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I can't believe that like people are whining about an extra wait. I mean, an extra year. I mean, it 2 years seems like I can't believe that Prince Caspian is like right around the corner. It feels like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe came out last week to me, and so I never have any trouble waiting. Even though obviously I'm really excited to see it, just because compared to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, this feels like nothing. So overall, I'm definitely in favor. And I like you, I'd express concern about annual Narnia films. And so I feel so much better right now, now that they've chosen to delay it.
Yeah, well, it shows that they're even if they say, okay, after this, we want to still do one Narnia film a year, then this at least shows also that they're not willing to sacrifice. If they feel, okay, we won't be able to do it without sacrificing a lot of the quality, that they'll probably say, okay, fine, let's add on another 6 months to a year.
Well, that brings up like what the reason for this is, and I think our initial feeling was that they what we before initially we only heard that it was going to be released in 2010, and we hadn't heard that they were going to delay the shooting of it as well. So we thought they were still going to shoot in January, and the feeling on that was that they were going to try to hurry up and finish shooting before the strike and June started, and if you people listening to this, if you want to know more about the strike, I suggest that you just go to NarniWeb and read about it. It's kind of complex, but basically there's a strike going on next summer that's really screwing everything up. And so our thought was that they were going to try to finish shooting before June, which would have been terrible to have to rush that fast. And so that's why a lot of people were kind of upset. But then it turns out they're actually going to delay shooting until after the strike, which is a lot better. It doesn't mean that they're rushing. I mean, it's on the contrary, they're just going to wait until the strike is over and then start shooting. And so I think that of course, Disney's email doesn't mention the strike at all. It just says that in consideration of the challenging schedules for the young actors, they've changed the release date, which some people might say, oh, they're just saying that. It's really because of the strike. But, I mean, I think it's probably a combination of both. Obviously, I think the strike has to be a factor in this. But also, I do know that the actors' schedules have been really difficult. And so I think that this is overall definitely the best decision. And I think we are going to see a finer quality Don Treader film, even though obviously we'll never know that for sure. But I think that we are the film. I don't see how releasing it later could hurt the film. Let me put it that way.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I just dittoed everything you said. Well, that's covers a lot of the main news. Is there anything else? I actually haven't been on the forums much recently. Is there anything going on there? It's, you want to talk about
anything going on in the forums?
No, of course not. We're all hibernating right now. I forgot.
Yeah, everyone. You know, there's not much big news going on right now, so I think everyone's kind of no. Let's see. I mean, there's a thread I started about the single combat, how that's going to play out in the movie. And we know from my third set report that it's been, instead of the whole boxing ring idea that's Lewis kind of goes into in the book, there's like a ruin of a temple outside of Aslan Tau. It's about 50 yards or so, I guess, from Aslan Tau. And that's where Peter and Miraz are going to fight. And so there's been kind of some, you know, conversation about that, about, you know, who think of that.
Well, you kind of gave us the whole discussion.
Yeah, you have an opinion on it?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. I didn't visit the set.
Boo-hoo. Right.
Because, I don't know. I actually kind of, here one of my thoughts would be, okay, this is just something I thought about when I was reading the book. What are the armies doing? I mean, really, if it's just kind of a boxing arena, I imagine everyone kind of crowding around and then kind of backing up. Well, I don't want to crowd next to those freaky Narnians. And then maybe, I can't see. Let's go sit down or something like that. I just kind of wondered how they're going to do that. If it was,
I imagine it being, I mean, for lack of a better term, almost like a sports event. Where you've got, you know, you got the Telmarines on one side, and they're all chanting and cheering, and they're getting into it. And whenever Miraz does something good, they cheer, and they all gasp when he does something bad, you know, just like you would at like a football game.
Yeah.
And the Narnians are doing the same thing. And I think that adds an element to a fight that you don't see very often, where you've actually got, you actually got people on screen. You're like, you know, cheering them on, and so I think that made the fight really unique. And that's the thing that makes the fight memorable to me in the book. And so as long as they get that feeling across in the movie, and I guess this isn't a big change, I just thought like the boxing ring idea in the book was really consistent with that. But as long as they can keep that feeling from the book in the movie, this won't be, I probably won't have a huge problem with it.
I know, but I'm just saying, I was wondering, okay, the kind of setting, if it was almost in a valley or a dell, then people could see, but I mean, if it's just on a flat plane, then if you have thousands of people there, it's kind of hard to see everything that's going on. So I kind of wondered, you know, how, and of course people are cheering, but I kind of wondered, I guess I was just thinking about the organization of the armies at that time. Just wondering how they're going to do that during the film.
It might make it even more intense to see the armies like crowding each other and they're trying to get a better look. And whenever Miraz does something good, you'd see the Telmarines turn around, they would shout the news to everyone else. And so it might actually make it even more intense or more interesting to have them like crowding around and desperate and trying to get a good look. Or
like
maybe the Narnians are like, or maybe Wimbleweather is like, it has a few dwarfs on his shoulders or something.
Yeah,
I don't
that'd
know.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, or something like in Troy with Patroclus fighting Hector with the Greeks and Trojans crowding around, and everyone just kind of stops fighting just to watch them.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's pretty much most of the news.
Yes, and hopefully, actually, just the day before the teaser poster came out, I had said on my blog, "Oh, there's not much news right now." And then the very next day, the teaser poster came out, and the day after that, Tim Dawn Treader release date changed. Exact same thing happened to me for the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe poster, actually, where I posted that I posted, "Oh, there's not much news right now, and hopefully something." I think maybe something big's coming. Then the very next day, the poster came out. So I think what I need to do is start posting every day that there's no news, and we'll get a trailer soon.
Oh yeah, there we go. I have to have everyone say on their own personal blog, "Oh, there's no trailer coming in the
The
next
trailer's never
24
gonna be
hours.
released.
Not in the next 24 hours. No way."
Definitely not.
Yeah, and even if and everyone definitely go look at the posters. If nothing else, it's a beautiful work of art. In fact, I would love to see when all seven films are done, what I'd like to see personally is a collection of Narnia books made with the concept art, because rather than say screenshots from the film, because I just think this is some of the best Narnian art period that's ever been done, because there's just not much of it, but it is really beautiful, and I hope
Yeah.
that we can see more of it.
Yeah. And hopefully they'll come out with like a whole series of posters with different various characters. And how awesome would a Reepicheep cheap poster be? Assuming
Oh,
that
that would be
he's not
cool.
white. Assuming they haven't given him white fur. If the design of Reepicheep cheap is if it's somewhat close to the book, then I'll probably get a Reepicheep cheap poster. But if they have a white Reepicheep cheap, I probably won't.
Real briefly,
I'll
we
look at it
haven't
and I'll
really
think of
covered that in the
keeping the.
podcast. Real briefly, let's talk about that just before we close
Oh,
here.
sure. Yeah. It's nothing is for sure. I mean, I saw whenever they have CG characters, especially small ones, they typically have like a detailed stuffed animal on set. I think it's for on-set reference for the animators and also something so that the on-set actors have something to act against. And that was definitely white. He had a couple little brown patches just on his back, but his arms and legs and his face was just completely lab rat white. And I didn't like the look for that look for Reepicheep at all. And then Jim Phan went to see when she saw her preview at Comic Con. I think she saw. I mean, it was just previs, but she saw a mouse that looked like it was that looked appeared to be the leader, and it was white. And even that might mean nothing. It's just previs. And then on the other hand, someone over at Narnia Fans who saw that same clip, like she said, she saw a concept art of Reepicheep briefly and thought that he had a white belly, but the rest of him was brown, just like the book. And so there's some kind of some inconsistency in the reports, and I'm just really and actually, I mean, I don't know if this means anything, but someone claiming to be Skander Keen's double, who by the way was like one of those well-cast people in the movie, he looks just like Skander Keen's, but actually when I walked past him, I actually thought it was Skander Keen's at first. But anyway, someone claiming to be him commented on my YouTube blog that, "Oh, I hate to break it to you, but Reepicheep is going to be white." And who knows if that's true. But so basically, Reepicheep's fur color is not the most important thing about his character, but it's still important, I think. I mean, just because that's the image I have of Reepicheep from the book, and I don't think I'll feel like Reepicheep has completely come to life if he has. If he's completely white. I mean, come on, even gray or light brown would be a lot better than white. And
Yeah,
you know.
the part of the thing with Reepicheep is if he had, okay, two things. First, if he had a white belly, he'd look like a character from Pooh Bear. No offense to A.A. Milne, but I mean, that would look kind of
Well,
ridiculous.
there's an illustration in the last battle where he seems to have at the very end of the last battle where he seems to have kind of a white belly. And the rest of them is kind of brownish, and so I can kind of see that working if they just want to. Maybe they just thought it'd be kind of boring if Reepicheep was just like one color, and they wanted to give him more, I don't know, just something looking different with the design. And I'll tell you what's really gonna annoy me is I think Dean Wright said in the interview that all the mice are gonna look a little bit different. And what would really annoy me is if Reepicheep is white and then some of the other mice are like black or brown. That would
Yeah.
really annoy me. Like, why not make the other mice white and make Reepicheep brown?
Well, I think one of the issues here is I have this image in my head of an animator coming up to Andrew and saying, "Andrew, look, Reepicheep's going great, but we can't really see the eyes very well. We want to make sure we can see his eyes, so we want to make sure they stand out. And this proper solution is, okay, I understand your problem. Yeah, you can't have him be black or, you know, dark gray. Just make him dark gray, you know?
I didn't have a problem seeing the beaver's eyes or anything, so why don't they just make Reepy Cheep the same color as the beaver's?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to be black, but...
And, you know, and I don't have, you know, a team of animators and a CG Reep in front of me where I can experiment and see how it looks, so what I'm saying may mean nothing, I admit. But just from where I'm sitting right now, it seems like, why don't they just do the same thing as the beaver's?
Yeah, well... It's hard to say, and I guess...
If nothing else, at least he has a cool sword. We know that much for sure.
Oh, he does have a cool sword. Now, was there anything as to the color from the... Because I think one of the guys from AintItCoolNews.com gave a report and said that he saw a shot of Reepy Cheep, a CG shot. Did he say anything about the color?
I don't think so. I mean, there has been a little bit of inconsistency, which is where all the discussion's coming from, is that there's a kind of inconsistency. Some people are like, oh, it's nothing, there's confusion. He'll be, you know, brown or whatever. And there's people like me who, just because of what I saw on set, that's the thing that worries me. And the first thing I saw, right next to him, they had one of a badger. And I said, oh, that's got to be a truffle hunter. Cool. And then I looked over and was like, oh, who's that? And after a few seconds, like, oh, tell me that's not Reepy Cheep. But I really hope that, I mean, you know, it's not the most important thing, but this is Reepy Cheep. You know, this isn't just any character. This is maybe for a lot of characters, color doesn't matter at all. But this is Reepy Cheep, like one of the most beloved characters in the series. And I want to have the joy of, I mean, right now what I'm getting out of Prince Caspian overall is that even though there are some problems with the script, as far as design goes, I think I'll be able to have the great experience of feeling like Narnia has come to life.
Yeah.
And being able to, like, see Reepy Cheep on the screen, you know, more or less the way I imagined him in the book would be, you know, even if they mess up the character, at least I can see him. But obviously it's more important to, I mean, obviously it is more important to nail him as a character, but just having the joy of seeing the character that's existed, you know, just in my imagination come to life would be such a great experience. And I really hope Andrew Adamson or whoever, if you're listening to this, please, if it's not too late, please change the color of Reepy Cheep's fur. I'll do anything. I'll write nothing but good things about the movies from now on. Well, mostly nothing but good things. And then if you just change the color of his fur, please. Okay. That's the end of my little plea. Okay. And really in agrees.
Oh, that was a brilliant speech.
I think the majority of Narnia, the majority of Narnia Webbers are pretty much with me on this one. Maybe some don't feel as strongly as me, but I think very few, like most Narnia Webbers, definitely prefer that he not be white, that he be a darker color.
Well, if worse comes to worse and they do change it and then the movie comes out and they realize, oh, we should have done it dark gray, then at least Voyage of the Dawn Treader can come along and he can be dark gray and Lucy says, oh, you dyed your hair.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. If it doesn't work out, I mean, that would be kind of silly to have that moment where you're like, oh, sorry, I dyed my hair, but, you know, we got to get it right. It's Reepy Cheep. Instead of sticking with a bad decision, let's just change it.
Yeah, well, maybe that wouldn't fly so well. Yeah. That would be best, yeah. Glenpuddle, thank you very much for joining us. Well, joining
me. And, oh, I just want to say before I go that there has been, like, no news now, and I really don't think that any news is going to come out recently, period.
Oh, I completely agree. There is
definitely
no trailer.
Definitely not tomorrow.
Not even
an announcement about the trailer. Nothing like that.
Yeah,
nothing in the next 24 hours. Nothing, definitely.
There will be no trailer tomorrow.
In fact, I don't think there's ever going to be a trailer, period.
Let's make it official.
There's not going to be a trailer, period.
There is no trailer, everyone. Sorry.
You see that poster? That's all you're getting until May.
Yep. Glenpuddle, thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Had a great time.
Take care.
Thank you all for listening. If you want to email either me or Glumpuddle with your thoughts, then you can email glumpuddle@narniaweb.com, or you can email me at rillian@narniweb.com about any of our thoughts, or if you want to email me about the podcast in general. And if you have a question about the podcast or about Narnia, please go ahead and email us with your questions. If we know the answer, then we will answer them on the show. And if we don't know the answer, we'll just ignore you. No, if we do not have the answer within our grasp, then we will go through an arduous journey to find it, no matter the consequences, no matter the cost. If any of you are wondering what that little squeaking sound is, we just had kittens. There's about 7 of them running around my studio here. Yes, I know, I'm very professional. You've been listening to the NarniaWeb.com podcast, the Narnia Web Council, and until next time, I'm your host, Rillian. Thanks for joining us.